This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
I can't believe I'm saying this. This episode is brought to you by Lola V, an award-winning hair care line by the one and only Jennifer Aniston. Why did Jennifer Aniston start a hair care company? Because she was tired of choosing between hair products that work and hair products that are actually good for us. But thanks to Lola V, we never have to choose again. No silicones, no sulfates, parabens, or gluten. And of course, it's cruelty-free and vegan. The Glossing Detangler and Perfect Conditioner are my personal favorites. Not only do they repair the look of damaged hair, but they also shield it from future harm. The first step to unlocking confidence in your dating life and your daily life is feeling confident about your hair. So unlock Jennifer Aniston approved hair at LolaV.com. And as listeners of Seeing Other People, you're getting an exclusive 15% off of your entire order when you use code Seeing Other People at checkout. That's 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com with promo code Seeing Other People. Please note you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined. After your purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please, please, please support Seeing Other People and let them know that I sent you. You guys are in for a treat because support for today's episode comes from the best of the best, Jenny Kane. And yes, there is a discount, so keep on listening. You know that feeling when you get a new sweater and it instantly becomes basically another layer of your skin? Like you wear it everywhere, for everything, all the time. Okay, well, Jenny Kane has become my literal uniform. And if you don't know Jenny Kane, I'm pretty much about to change your life because Jenny Kane's clothes did that to mine. Jenny Kane is a California brand with luxurious staples that will transform your closet. Think minimalist and effortless, but totally refined. They have the coziest cashmere sweaters and iconic accessories that will elevate your everyday basics. I don't know if I wear my cashmere fisherman hoodie or my cropped cashmere cocoon cardigan more. All I know is that I cannot live without either of them. Whether it's a cozy night in with the girls, a dinner date with Jake, or catching a flight to Florida to see my parents, these sweaters are perfect for every single occasion, and I couldn't be happier when I'm wearing them because I'm so comfy. And you guys know me, I always choose comfort over how something looks, but with Jenny Kane, I don't have to choose because I get comfort and I get style. All right, so we have the discount code coming for you. Find your new uniform at jennykane.com. Seeing Other People listeners get 15% off their first order when you use code SOP at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at jennykane.com, promo code SOP, S-O-P. Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about. Hey guys, it's Alana, and you're listening to Seeing Other People Unfiltered. It's Thursday, so that means real life daters are coming on to share their real, sometimes shocking, and always unfiltered experiences. Think you're alone out there? Think you're the only one whose ex hooked up with your mom or whose last date ended up being a catfish? Think again.
Hi, I'm Emily Kelman. I'm 27. I live here in the city. And what I want to talk about today is when I tested, it sounds weird saying tested positive, but when I got my test results that I was a BRCA1 gene mutation carrier.
I first and foremost want to thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
This is so important to be talking about. I've never done an episode about this. And immediately, like, there is such a response from people of, like, this episode is needed.
Yeah.
And there are, I can only imagine how many of the people listening right now are going through this too, or might someday go through this, or like know somebody going through this. So
yeah,
talking about it is so important. So thank you so, so much. For those who don't know, what does that mean? What is the BRCA gene mutation?
So having a BRCA mutation is basically, you know, you get half your genes from your mom, half your genes from your dad, and everyone has a BRCA gene. And everything I'm saying, like, is from my own, you know, knowledge. Yes. From doctors.
We're not doctors.
Yeah,
we're
yeah,
not
yeah.
pretending so, to be. This is personal experience.
Exactly, exactly. And I'll, like, say that a million times because it's such a personal thing. But basically, when you get, you know, the two different strands, from one strand from your mom, one strand from your dad, the BRCA gene, there is a common mutation or change that may happen that causes your risk of breast and ovarian cancer to be significantly increased compared to the average person over your lifetime. Mm-hmm. So basically, I'm of Ashkenazi Jewish descent, and there are three very common BRCA mutations, two on the BRCA1 gene, one on the BRCA2 gene, I believe, that are very common of people of my descent. Interestingly enough, my family mutation is not one of those three. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, it actually took us longer than the average to figure out that we had it. So it's actually a totally different type of mutation. Basically, like, it's one kind of mutation may be like your genes are misaligned or they're in a different order. Ours is like what's called a deletion. So an entire part of the gene is missing, and that's what causes the increased risk.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did your family end up figuring that out?
So we have a long history of breast and ovarian cancer. And again, I'm going to just speak from my experience and my perspective. I don't want to tell anyone else's story. You know, growing up, we didn't really talk about it a lot. My mom hates when I say we had family secrets. It's more so that like they guarded us really well. Mm-hmm. And so like they didn't even find out that we had were quote unquote positive until I think I was probably in my like low teens, because like I said, this gene is so different. Like this gene mutation is so different. So they did studies. They were part of all these like groups, and you know, they volunteered because it was so weird that we had this really strong family history without actually having a scientific reason why.
Right.
Until they figured it out.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. So at what you tested positive when you were 11?
No, like no.
You didn't test until later.
Right. So basically when I was 18, my parents sat down, me and my brother, and I remember the conversation. It was me and my mom sitting on one couch, and my dad and my brother were pointing over there because that's where they were sitting. Mm-hmm. And my mom explained it all to us. And obviously from that couch's point of view, it's very different. It still affects men, of course, and there's still a lot you can do. But from my point of view on this couch, mm-hmm. It hit a lot harder. So I found out when I was 18. I, like many other people our age, have a lot of anxiety. I had a lot of fears growing up. My mom said to me, you know, I don't want you thinking about this every day. I don't want you testing now. It doesn't make sense. Like, I know you. You're going to live in fear, and I don't want you to do that. So for a while, you know, was a part of the back of my brain. I was also still young. Like, breast cancer, not usually that, doesn't appear that young. It can appear in your young 20s, but mm-hmm. like at 18, not really. And so first, I don't remember when I made this decision, but it was like an internal kind of decision. And then of course I talked it through with my parents that at 25, I was going to test. Okay. That was my cutoff. I made that decision myself and with my doctors, knowing like, okay, around that time, you should probably start getting regular screening because that's when you become, it's more common or it could happen. So that was kind of my timeline. I turned 25 in 2021, so it was right at the end of COVID. Shit was hitting the fan, and my mom was like, listen, you got enough anxiety going on. Like, the world is kind of a mess right now. Like, because there's a lot of stuff that you have to do before you get tested. Like, I went to see a genetic counselor. Like, there's, you know, just things that you have to prepare for. And so I waited until almost a full year later. So I tested when I was 25. I found out like the week before my 26th birthday. So I still hit my timeline.
Was it in that period of like 18 to 25, 26, not knowing, like how much was it on your mind versus was it something you forgot about?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I think during that time, there was some family stuff going on. So like in those situations, like that was on my mind, but not really. Everything had really happened already. Yeah. So it really wasn't on my mind a ton, honestly. I wasn't going for regular screenings. Like, I've been on birth control since I was 17, 18. My mom did that on purpose because, like, that could help stabilize your hormones for ovarian cancer. So, like, it wasn't really that different, you know? Like, I went to college. I, like, talked about it with friends, like, when you, like, got deep and stuff. But other than that, like, it wasn't really part of my life.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So, week before your 26th birthday, get the results. Talk me through that day.
Yeah. So, basically, it's just a blood test.
Okay.
So, 2 weeks before, it was actually Passover. My mom had COVID. Passover's her favorite holiday. It was chaos in my house. And I went and got tested. I went to get my blood test, and my mom actually couldn't come with me because she had COVID. And I don't know. It was kind of like this weird juxtaposition of like, she's so supportive, and like, you'll hear throughout this whole journey, like, she's really there for me. But it was almost like going alone, and I've never really thought about it this way, but like going alone was kind of like the start of like my journey with this.
Yeah.
Because everyone's journey is so different, and so, you know, and everyone's decisions are so personal. So it was I don't know, I guess it really was kind of like the start. And I was optimistic. I wasn't optimistic. the numbers just didn't play in my favor. You know, they say it's a 50-50 chance, but with my family, again, the historical numbers, it just didn't. I was pretty sure I was going to be positive. Mm-hmm. And when we went in to see the genetic counselor, I remember we sat down and she was like, all right, I'm not going to make you wait, you know. And she said something that I always think about. And she said, like, I was really hoping for you. And I was like, oh my God.
That like makes it worse, I think.
She was just like, I really was hoping for you. And I was like, okay, in this moment, I feel so different. Like this is the, like that I realized, like, holy shit, like this is real. And like, this isn't normal. And what I'm about to go through, like, clearly has weight to it, because someone who does this for a living and counsels people on this is telling me like they were holding out hope for me. And I was like, oh God. So that was the day. It was rough. Afterwards, I went back home to my parents' house and I was working. And I remember being on the phone with one of my coworkers and he was telling me how he was setting up this new Peloton he got. And my mom's like out of the corner of my eye and she's like rolling her eyes like, this is not what you want to hear right now. Like, you know. And then I kind of just went into like information mode and okay, what am I going to do?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, finding something out like that and then – I do like what you said about like your mom couldn't come and it was the start of your journey on your own. And it's something that you now have to deal with the support of family and friends and people who love you. But also it's you. It's at the end of the day, like the decisions are yours. At the end of the day, the thoughts are yours. And it's something that you will have to deal with in one way or another for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And as painful as that is and as scary as that is, I do think that was like a beautiful like, here goes Emily. Like,
yeah,
we got to do this. Like me, myself and I, like I can do this.
Yeah.
What were your initial like, were you like, oh my God, I'm terrified? Or were you like, this sucks, but I'll deal with it? Like what was really going through your mind emotionally?
So it was a lot of, okay, what can I do right now? Right? We all like to be in control. So I was like, how do I take this uncontrollable thing that felt inevitable to me my whole life or since I was 18? And how do I control it? So I went into, like I said, information mode. You know, I went through genetic counseling. She told me, you know, some risks ahead of time so you can mentally prepare. And then, you know, I remember my dad said to me, like, okay, like we need your dream team now. Like now you have to get all your doctors and it's going to become your dream team. Yeah. And so that was kind of my next step. And I was like researching. And of course, like I said, you know, there's so many different connections of this one went to that out, you know, so it was just finding that. And I started, so there's two pieces to this. There's the breast cancer part and then there's the ovarian cancer part. The breast cancer part, you know, you have choices. You go for screening. You can do a preventative double mastectomy. You can, you know, there's a lot of things you can do that I was very educated about. The ovarian piece, not as much. And there's really not as much you can do. So that made sense. But it was just a lot of research and a lot of like figuring out. I remember I made a spreadsheet. I'm like, okay, I called this doctor. Thankfully, being in New York, like some of these hospitals have like program, so to speak. So like most of my doctors now are at one hospital and they have a team of doctors that are focused on BRCA patients because they just have an interest in that like specialty, so to speak.
That's amazing.
Which was great. Yeah. So it was a lot of doctors, a lot of anxiety. I have this weird anxious reaction where when I talk about something I don't want to or like it freaks me out, I like literally almost pass out. So there's a lot of that in doctor's offices too. I've gotten better over time. Yeah. So that wasn't fun, but just learning how to like deal with it and, you know, asking questions and like I said, making a plan for like how to tackle this.
Yeah. You guys know that I struggle with confidence. I'm always my biggest critic, and when I notice something about myself that I don't like, I can't stop fixating on it. I'm working on all of this, but it can be hard. A year ago, I noticed that my hair was thinning, and I was finding more and more strands of hair on the floor every time I would walk around my apartment. When I would look down in the shower, I would freak out at what I saw in the drain. That's when I opened up to my best friend, who happens to be a doctor, and she said two things that changed my life. The first was that she knows so many women our age going through the same thing. The second is that she told me to try Nutrafol. And so I did. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. A year later and a month before my wedding, and I cannot believe the number of people who have been complimenting how long, strong, and healthy my hair looks. I never imagined that this would happen. And naturally, as a result, my confidence has transformed. I'm no longer self-conscious when it comes to my hair, and honestly, that is a huge, huge, huge personal win for me. And you guys know I'm hilariously bad at sticking with habits and taking something every day or doing something every day. But with Nutrafol, building a hair growth routine is simple. You purchase online with no prescription required. Free shipping and automated deliveries ensure that you'll never miss a day. You'll see results in 3 to 6 months, and trust me, it is worth the wait. You can start so easily by taking their hair wellness quiz on Nutrafol.com for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering the Seeing Other People family $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code Seeing Other People. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code Seeing Other People. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code Seeing Other People. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. When I first started seeing other people, some of my closest friends and family could not believe it. Not because they didn't think I was capable of being a podcast host, but because I usually can't get through a sentence without sniffling. And during allergy season, forget about it. My seasonal allergies are debilitating, and my sinus congestion and pressure has always left me feeling so sick. But luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Claritin D has truly transformed my life. Not only can I breathe better and sleep better since taking Claritin D, but I also can get through the day so much smoother. I used to have to cancel plans because of how bad my allergies were. I'd go through a tissue box a week, sometimes more, and my eyes were always watery. But Claritin D's fast symptom relief starts working on allergies with nasal congestion in as little as 30 minutes, and it tackles nasal congestion caused by allergies or a cold, and also relieves sinus congestion and pressure due to allergies. It's truly the greatest thing I've ever come across, and I am so grateful that I found it and started using it. Are you ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Two questions. One, was there anything when you were talking to these doctors that any of them were able to say that gave you any sense of comfort?
Yeah. So there, when I was picking my breast surgeon, because I knew that I will eventually do a preventative double mastectomy.
Okay.
Which means basically taking out all of my own breast tissue and either putting in implants, or now they can do like a different type procedure where they take fat from your body and they like basically make it into a mm-hmm. breast. And I knew that that was something that I was going to do someday before I had kids, just based on my family history and kind of what I was comfortable with. And that was my choice. So I went in knowing that. And I actually went to two different doctors before I found mine. So the first doctor I went to was someone who highly touted. My mom had gone there. And the doctor wasn't super warm and fuzzy. And it was more so like, let's do this tomorrow. Like, you don't want to say what if, like all this stuff. And I was like, ooh, that was really overwhelming. And then I was like, I don't know if this is the right doctor for me. Mm-hmm. Because I really need someone with like really sensitive bedside manner. And like, I'm not saying this wasn't a great doctor. It just wasn't a great doctor for me.
It's really, really great that you were able to recognize that and that you were able to say this isn't the right fit.
Right.
And this is for somebody else. But like, this is not what I need in this really delicate situation.
Yes. So then I went to a second breast surgeon, and it was like instantly night and day. Like, the doctor sat down and they were like, listen, I'm going to take as much time. I know you probably have a lot of information about this, but I'm going to run you through it from the top. And I was like, I appreciate that. So it was just like very gentle, very they made it very clear that this was my decision, whatever I wanted to do. So not so much comfort in what they're saying, but comfort in how they're caring for you in the sense that, like, I know when I go to do my surgery, like, this doctor is going to give me advice and tell me what to do, because there's a lot of decisions that come with it that, like, is going to be the right thing. Like, I totally wholeheartedly trust them. And I think the trust is the most important piece, because, like, the comfort you kind of have to make for yourself. Right. Because it's like you're coping with something that, again, like you said, is going to be with you forever, and you – it's going to be prevalent in so many different aspects of your life, but you just need to, like, you know, find that own comforting feeling.
Absolutely. It's almost like dating. Like, you have to find the right doctor for you, but you also have to find it in yourself to have the strength that you need and to trust your own judgment too.
Yeah. I never thought about it that way. Yeah. yeah.
I somehow find a way to relate everything back to dating.
So
what led you to decide to, at some point, have a preventative double mastectomy?
Like I said, my family history, I am also of the ilk that I want to be in control.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say and look back with regret and what if. And it's not so much like the fear of what would happen if I didn't do it. It's just the fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's, I think that's most
of it. Do you have any specific fears surrounding that? In general,
I knew you were gonna ask me this question. So in the beginning, yes. So I actually did. I froze my eggs twice already. So okay. That was actually the first thing that I did, and I can talk about that after.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, I wasn't ready to have my double mastectomy right when I was diagnosed, and I knew that. I knew that when I sat in the plastic surgeon's office and she handed me the implant, and I almost passed out because I just like couldn't hear about it. I also knew that just based on like major life events, like I didn't want this to take over my life. Mm-hmm. And I knew at that point, like I was in a serious relationship. I knew marriage was, you know, shortly down the road. And to be honest, I wanted to wear what I wanted to wear on my wedding and feel like 100% myself.
Yeah.
So giving myself, kind of like when I gave myself the 25-year-old timeline, I gave myself, okay, I'm going to get married and then I'm going to do this. And now being closer to my wedding, knowing now having like a timeline of when I want to do this surgery, I feel much better. Also, seeing people around me who have gone through it and been okay is also really helpful and inspiring, because there's really few people who can understand and relate.
Yeah, it is amazing. As unfortunate as it is amazing that you in a way don't have to go through it alone. That
no.
You know other people.
Yeah.
Experiencing the same things, feeling the same things, thinking the same things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Okay. Freezing your eggs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let's talk about the ovarian part of it, because that's something that's, like, way less discussed.
Agreed. And that was the scarier piece, because there's really – any doctor will tell you there's really – there's things you can do to, quote-unquote, test for ovarian, but there's really nothing super effective. Mm-hmm. So – the reason why I decided to freeze my eggs is because, thanks to science, I don't want to pass this gene on. So that's the reason why I'm freezing my eggs.
Wow.
So basically, yeah. So once you make embryos, so the whole process of IVF is you freeze, like the freezing egg
right,
process.
You can choose.
Right. Yeah. So when you freeze your eggs, you're giving yourself injections to like hyperstimulate your egg growth, and then they extract your eggs. Now, at that moment, you can choose to freeze your eggs, save them over time, or you can make embryos. Yeah. So if someone was going through the IVF process, they would make embryos and then they'd implant the embryos. For me, I just kind of stopped at that point and I froze my eggs. So someday when I do want to have children, we will thaw my eggs. And then we'll make embryos, and then we'll test those embryos, and we can test those embryos for the specific gene mutation that I have. And hopefully, knock on wood, we will have embryos that don't have the gene and then choose to implant those.
Right. Because you mentioned it's 50-50.
It's 50-50.
50-50.
Yeah. Got it. So that was kind of the whole reason behind the freezing of the eggs. I also am young, and you know, you do a bunch of tests, and I had a good egg supply, and there's some stuff out there. It's not proven research, but there's some anecdotes that say like BRCA1 carriers deplete their eggs faster than other people. Again, it's not proven, but it's something out there. So I was like, you know what? I know I don't want to do the double mastectomy right now. What can I do in the meantime to like give myself that control?
Yeah.
And so I, same thing, shopped around for doctors, fell in love with my doctor.
Name drop. Do it.
Jennifer Blakemore at NYU. I'm obsessed with her. And so she really walked me through everything. And then I was like, okay, like, I think I'm going to do this. And thankfully, I have amazing insurance, which was also a big piece of it. It's very expensive. And I'm very lucky and privileged to have, you know, the job that I do and the insurance that I have, that it made my decision much easier. When cost is not a factor, it's like, sure, why not all inject myself?
Why wouldn't I do this thing that could be so beneficial?
Yeah.
For me, for my family later on.
Exactly. Yeah. So I did my first round last March. It was scary. So you go through like a training and they like show you how to like inject the medicine, and shots don't really get me. But like when people like take my blood, I don't love that. I've gotten so much better at it because I have to. Mm-hmm. But in the training, Jared, my fiance, and I were sitting in the training, and I was like, you need to be part of this because like you're going to, we lived together.
You're the one doing it. Yeah.
No, I shot myself.
Really?
Yep. And so, so he sat in the training with me, and where they got to the point where they demonstrated like injecting the medicine, I literally was horizontal on the couch again, almost passed out. Like, just that's my reaction. And so when it was happening, I was like, how am I going to do this? And my mom came in. She was like, I can do it. I'm like, no, I want to do it myself because like I want to be able to do this. Like, I need to do this. I'm doing this for 2 weeks at least. Like, you know. So she came in, and then after the first time, it was totally fine. Okay. And so, yeah, so I did that my first round in March, and then I actually did a second round in October.
Brave the uncomfortable. Those are the words engraved on my bracelet that have gotten me through some of the most anxiety-inducing moments over the last few years. And that's why I could not be more excited to encourage you all to get a Presently bracelet of your own with a phrase that resonates with you. Presently is a line of mindfulness bracelets engraved with words inspired by cognitive behavioral therapy. The brand was started by two sisters, Lindsay and Emily, who have obsessive compulsive disorder, aka OCD, and anxiety. They realized that when stuck in an anxiety spiral, it's hard to put into practice the tools that they learned in therapy sessions. They looked and looked for bracelets that could serve as reminders to interrupt that spiral, but they couldn't find anything besides the cheesy good vibes only and no bad days types of messaging. They started Presently to bring more authenticity to self-help anxiety management. And as someone who has had a Presently bracelet for 3 years, I mean it when I say it really makes a difference. So whether you need encouragement to make it onto that date that you've been anxious about, a calming mantra to get you through a big day at work, or simply a reminder that you're not alone, Presently has your back. Their bracelets are so beautiful and elevated, and they also make amazing gifts. And I know because I have gifted a few over the years, and my friends were so excited to get one and have worn them ever since. There are 6 phrases to choose from. And if you're indecisive, there's a quiz that you can take to help you choose the perfect reminder for your anxiety. Plus, 5% of each bracelet is donated to your choice of 4 mental health nonprofits. I wholeheartedly love and support Presently, and I know that your Presently bracelet will bring you as much comfort as mine has brought me. So head to presentlybracelets.com. That's PRESENTLY bracelets.com for 10% off your order using code SEEINGOTHERPEOPLE. Raise your hand if you have dating anxiety. All right. I know that everyone has their hands up, and I get it. I had debilitating anxiety when I was single. And even when I first started dating Jake, I kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I know that is not a good way to feel, and that is not a fun way to date. And I get it. It can be hard to find an anxiety relief tactic that works for you. That's why I'm so excited to introduce you to a new one that has helped me dramatically with my wedding and work stress and anxiety over the last few months. And trust me, there's been a lot of it. Sunset Lake CBD is an amazing company that not only has helped me feel so much better, but they also have a really cool history and mission. Sunset Lake CBD is a majority employee-owned hemp farm located right outside of Burlington, Vermont. As farmers, they believe in providing only top-shelf CBD and hemp products at fair prices. So they cut out the middlemen and they ship their CBD straight from their farm to your door, which means that their CBD is affordable and trusted because CBD and anxiety relief can help everyone, and they want it to be accessible to anyone. Trust me when I say that when I'm stressed or anxious, my sleep is the first thing to go. But despite everything I have going on right now, I've been taking a sleep gummy before bed, and my sleep scores on my Oura Ring have been through the roof. Plus, I'm finding myself relaxing more at night and being able to turn off my work brain and my anxiety with the help of their CBD gummy bears and reishi-infused chews. Whether you want to sleep better, relax better, focus better, recover better, or anything in between, Sunset Lake CBD has something for everyone. So check them out today at sunsetlakecbd.com and use code SOP for 20% off your order. That's code SOP for 20% off. Farmer-owned, Vermont-grown Sunset Lake CBD. Do you feel like you're at a crossroads in your love life? Maybe you're in the thick of modern dating, or you're wondering if the person you're with is your person. Whatever your situation, I have the perfect podcast for you. It's called Dateable, your insider's look into modern dating, hosted by Julie Kraftchick and Yue Xu. They talk about it all, from why you're choosing the wrong partner and how to stop, to how to actually go from matching on the app to getting on a date, to securing your anxious attachment, and everything in between. Julie and Yue have been on Seeing Other People, and I've been a guest on their podcast too, so if you're looking for a great starting point, check out my episode of Dateable, season 15, episode 10, Is It Chemistry or Anxiety? Guys, this podcast is incredibly relatable, insightful, and oftentimes hilarious. Wherever you start, Dateable will help you feel inspired to date differently and create a love life that works for you. You can subscribe and listen to episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts every Wednesday and Sunday. So check out Dateable and thank me later. Oh, wow. What made you decide to do the second round?
It was my doctor's advice. You know, it's so weird because, like, at that point, I did both my egg cycles. We weren't engaged. So there was, you know, the discussion of, are you going to do embryos? Are you going to do eggs? And so the second time, you know, you have to have these conversations that, like, you wouldn't normally have. Like, you're doing everything in reverse almost.
Yeah.
Like, we're having conversations about, like, timelines of surgeries and kids and how many kids we want. And, like, I literally don't have a ring on my finger. And so that was kind of part of it. Like, we knew we wanted, you know, multiple kids, and so there's a lot of statistics about, like, when you freeze eggs and then you thaw eggs, you lose some, and then when the eggs match with the sperm and make the embryos, you lose more, and then you got to split everything in half because BRCA is 50-50.
Right.
So she was like, numbers wise, you should do another round. And I was like, okay, like, I'm gonna trust you, I'm gonna believe you. And, you know, I was prepared for that. And my second round, I got so many more eggs than my first round. So I'm, I'm done for now.
Okay.
But I don't like to think I'm done, because when we go to have kids and they make embryos, like, who knows? Like, right. I may need to
never
do
know.
More. And it's fine. So yeah. So that was kind of the reason for the second round.
Speaking of, you know, having these conversations, when did you initially bring it up with him? And what was that like? I know, especially in dating, like, we all – even not in dating, we all have something heavy that we're carrying around that is really hard to open up to people about. But when it is with somebody you're dating, of course, like, the stakes are a little higher.
Yeah.
It is a little scarier. It's hard to know when the right time is and how to talk about it and what questions they might have. So do you remember what that experience was like?
So I knew you were going to ask me this too, and I was trying to think about it. So I honestly think, and Jared, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we were doing, like, one of those, like, New York Times, like, 20 questions to ask when you first started.
36 questions that lead to love.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. One of those. Whether it was that or, like, you know, we met at Acme Polls or something that ilk. Something came up, and it was like, what's your biggest fear, or what are you most scared of? It was something in that vein. And I think that's when I first shared it with him. And I think sharing it with anyone who has no prior knowledge, they're going to be like, they're not going to fully get it.
Yeah.
Sharing it with a male who doesn't have the same parts as you do and no prior knowledge, I don't think it fully registers until I start to, like, go through these things. Mm-hmm. So when I was getting tested, we definitely talked about it more and, like, what it would mean and all that kind of stuff. And that was really when I think a lot of the, like, deeper conversations started, just because I started to learn about, like, what the implications actually were.
Yeah. Were there any questions that he asked you, or that any friends or anyone who was less familiar asked you, that you were afraid to answer or that were really, like, hard for you to answer?
Not really.
Okay.
Like I said, growing up, I was very guarded from this.
Yeah.
And again, not using the word secret, but there were some things that I didn't always have 100% of the knowledge of because I was protected, right? My mom wanted to protect me and my brother from a young age of like something that, you know, we didn't have the mental capacity to cope with. Mm-hmm. At least I didn't. I don't know about him, but I definitely didn't. I don't have that. Yeah. So I kind of have the total opposite approach. I'm so open. I'm so honest. People at work know I froze my eggs. I have an amazing manager. She knows, like I'm so open about it that I just feel it's important to talk about. And that's why I'm here, because there's so many people who are living with like these silent illnesses or silent things that no one knows about, and just to have someone else you can relate to or like tell, I think is so important. So no, I don't think there were any hard questions,
and I applaud you on being so open about it. I think it's so important, and obviously like I'm clearly an open book, but it can be hard when it's something that's so personal to you, and it is so totally. personal, and it is a delicate topic, but it's something that we're all better off talking about. These things, we're all better off having the conversations about the things that scare us, about the things that we're going through, because there's not a single person out there who's not going through something.
Totally. And listen, like in the work environment, I don't tell all my male coworkers all of this because like unfortunately this deals with like the most like vulnerable parts of the women's body that like I'm not going around like sharing, and unfortunately there is a double standard. Just is like guys just don't get it, and I just don't feel the need to share in the same way. But I am, I'm open.
I have a small but mighty percentage of male listeners who are listening to this right now. What do you wish they knew or understood?
So I think it's equally as important for males and females to get tested if you have a family history, because again, there's no discrimination on how you pass it on. So that's the biggest piece. Of course, you know, if you're a male and you have a partner, that's up to your partner if they want to go through the whole IVF process that I have chosen to do for myself. And I totally recognize that that is different because, like, you know, God forbid if my partner had something like this, I would do it. But I see how other women may not want to. And again, I'm saying this on the other side, so it's a lot easier. I would also say, like, there are still risks. It's obviously much lower. I believe there's still risk of breast cancer. There's also, like, increased risk. Again, I don't know if this is proven yet or not, but anecdotally, like, increased risk of melanoma, like, things like that. So if you have a family history, like, I truly believe knowledge is power. So I think it's just as important.
No, I couldn't agree more. For anyone listening who might have a friend going through this, what advice would you give them of how they can best show up and support their friends?
It's a hard one. I remember I got home from the genetic counselor with my mom when I found out the news, and my mom, one of the first things she said to me was, listen, Emily, you have so much support throughout all of this, but you just need to be prepared that people are going to say stupid things. And she was 100% right. And no one ever has bad intentions. It's just very hard for you to empathize with someone on something that you are not going through yourself. So I would say, like, and it's personal what anyone kind of wants in terms of comfort. For me, I don't want to be told that it's going to be okay. I don't want to be told that I'm so strong. Like, I know all these things. I want you to sit there and just say, I'm sorry, like, this sucks. And it does. Like, let's just call it what it is. You know, I don't want anyone to try to make it better because they're not going to. So again, that's my personal preference. I think as a friend, just being there, asking how you are, saying, oh, let's go out and do this. Like, let's take your mind off of it. Like, just being there and not trying to find a solution, I think is the biggest thing.
This isn't a situation for everything happens for a reason. God only gives you what you can handle. Like, no, those aren't the things that we want to hear right now.
I've gotten those.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Again, it's only good intent.
Yes, of course. Of course. But it also, you know, I think anyone who might, it's one of those situations where, like, just you can also ask, like, what can I do to support you?
Right. Yeah.
Would you not like getting asked that, or you would?
No, I mean, I would. I just think, like, like I said, it's so hard to relate to anyone if they don't understand what you're going through, like from my point of view. So, yeah, I mean, I appreciate anything. Honestly, when I'm in the moment of something, like if I went for a scan and I have to go back for a biopsy or whatever it is, like it just sucks. Like I'm just in a bad mood for those 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like anything anyone's going to say, I'm going to like instantly just like flip a switch. So like, you know, just it is what it is.
Yeah. Like give you grace and like just be patient and know that this sucks.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned you know other people who are in a similar boat and who are going through what you're going through, potentially steps ahead. What has it been like for you seeing other people go through it?
So there's a lot of great resources out there. The Breasties is a great nonprofit that was started by three young women. I think one had was young and had breast cancer. One is what's called in the I don't want to say industry, but in the sphere, a previvor. So, you know, you haven't survived cancer. It's a previvor. So someone like me who's doing all these steps to avoid that.
I love that.
And then I forget what the third story was. And it's like it's an inclusive community, and they do like video sessions. There's an app. There's like a message board. Like, so resources like that is so helpful, because like you could say something and like everyone will know what you're talking about. And so that's really helpful. And to hear other people's stories and just to see it, like it's just it's so helpful. There's some other resources out there too, like Force is another one. It's not as focused towards like our generation, I would say, but I still have had like great sessions. Like I got one of my doctors through there because like they brought on a speaker and she was based in Chicago and I was like, I love you, but I'm not flying to Chicago to freeze my eggs.
Right.
So like that's how I ended up at my doctor. So just things like that. And listen, it's hard, like putting yourself out there to total strangers, but it definitely, it pays off. Like it's worth its while.
Yeah. And there's nothing better than having community.
100%. 100%. Yeah.
Community to ask questions to commiserate with, just to know that you're going through something that is human and is normal. And you're not the only one going through it. You're not the only one questioning the things you're questioning and thinking the things and having these fears. It's like we're all in this together.
Yeah.
And if you don't have people who you can relate to, like there's always ways that you can find people to relate to.
Totally. And like I've had friends who say like, oh, you should talk to this person. And same way, like they'll reach out to me and say like, hey, I know this person going through something similar. Like, do you mind talking to them? I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, so things like that too. It's great.
Absolutely. What advice would you give to somebody who tomorrow finds out that they tested positive?
It's going to be okay. Like, you have more control over this than you think. And I'm a control freak. So, like, I have, you know, like, maybe to a different degree. But it's all about you make it. Like, you can choose to be as in control or as not in control as you want.
Yeah. And I like that throughout your experience, you found ways that you could have control.
100%. Yeah.
I think that's really powerful. And helpful just to know that you're doing what you can.
Exactly. Listen, it makes it really hard because when something doesn't go according to plan, I break down.
Yeah.
And I'll admit that. But, you know, it's just part of the process.
Yeah.
It's life, as my mom tells me.
Absolutely. So you're getting married.
Yeah.
What are you most excited about with your wedding coming up and life after that?
I'm excited to start a new chapter. I'm excited to really, like, build a home with someone else the way that we want to do it. You know, my fiance is from California, the other side of the country, and we have a lot of shared values, which is really nice and I think really important. But we also grew up in different ways, and it's kind of cool to like be able to see, you know, what were your traditions, and then kind of making our own together.
Yeah. Can you tell us how you guys met?
Yes, we met on Hinge. I had actually just got dumped by a guy that I was set up with. My cousin set me up. I had gone on like 2 or 3 dates. And, you know, like when someone sets you up, it's like, oh, my God, this could be the one. Like
high stakes.
High stakes. Yeah. Like he already has like approval from like someone you know and love and trust. And so It was funny. I went on a first date with this guy who ended up dumping me, ran into my brother who was on a first date. It's my dad's favorite story to tell. And coincidentally, we both were with people we didn't end up with.
That's crazy.
But it was literally a week before I met Jared, my fiance. Yeah.
Wow.
So when I went out with him, I was like, I'm not going to think much of this. It's going to be what it's going to be. Like,
it's a distraction.
He had the same mindset, yeah. You know, and then we kept seeing each other.
Sometimes that's the best, because yeah. when you have so much, like, there's such high expectations on something,
yeah.
it's never going to live up to that.
Exactly.
Exactly. Do you remember what the initial Hinge conversation was? Or like, of course. Who you choose? Okay, tell.
Oh, my God. So I actually responded to one of his prompts. So I was, like, eager. Like, I definitely put myself out there. I feel like I was ready. Like, you know, I just wanted to, like, have that shared person. And that person, rather. So I never really liked a guy's picture because it always made me uncomfortable. So he had a prompt and it was, like, my guilty pleasure is, and his response was reality TV. So I responded, what's your favorite housewife city?
Wow.
Yeah. And he's like, not really my thing. And I was like,
not that type of reality TV.
Right. And I was like, okay. And the rest is history. Now we love reality TV.
Yeah. What's his favorite housewife city now?
So he claims he doesn't watch, but I'll be watching and he'll creep in and just sit there or ask a question. Honestly, whatever I'm watching.
I support that. Yeah. I support that. Is there anything that I didn't ask you about with your journey and all of your experiences that you were hoping to share?
I'm trying to think. I think the thing that's really tough is being how young I am and going into a doctor's office and every doctor saying to you, oh, my God, you're so young. Oh, my God. Why are you going through this now? And it's the same conversation every time. And that's really hard because it's a reminder every single time. I mean, like, I go for yearly breast MRIs and whoever is putting my IV in makes a comment about it every time. So it's like you can't forget it. So it's hard. And it, like, really does travel with you. Mm-hmm. And so I would just say, like, letting yourself see that and recognize that. And again, just commiserate. Like, yeah, I am really young. This sucks. And, you know, you also have to find the humor. And I'll tell a story, which was really funny. When I was freezing my eggs, you go in for almost – I was in there almost daily because mm-hmm. they have to make sure my hormones don't get to a certain level because of the gene. But you go in for blood and then you go in for an ultrasound so they can see how many eggs are in your ovaries. So every day it's like a different resident or a different doctor who may come in and do your ultrasound. And so a guy came in one day and I was like, oh, I've never had a guy do this. This is interesting. And he was like, okay, you're looking good. That's how when they decide, like, you're going to have your procedure, like, they can, again, by the number of eggs. And the next day, same guy comes in. He's like, hi, I'm so-and-so. It's nice to meet you. I was like, oh, we actually met yesterday. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I see so many people. I'm like, yeah, 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 of course. He does the ultrasound. He looks at my ovaries. He goes, oh, I remember you now. Sheerly based on all the eggs and my ovaries.
Oh my God.
And I was like, this is hilarious.
That is so funny.
So funny. So it's like things like that you have to – I went around and told everyone because yeah. I thought it was – that's why I'm repeating it. Like, it's just so funny. And it's like finding the moments like that just like make it all like, okay.
They're such unique experiences. And like, you can't not laugh at that. You can't not appreciate the humor
right.
in that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So it's a lot of things. Like every time I'm in a doctor's office, it's something like that.
Yeah.
And you just have to laugh.
Start your own podcast of all this.
I do write them down.
Good. I love that.
That's helpful.
I love that. Well, it has been such an honor and a pleasure to have you. Thank you so, so, so much from the bottom of my heart and from the whole Seeing Other People community.
Yeah.
We have one last thing to do before we end this episode. Okay. And that's how we end every episode. What is the best piece of dating or relationship advice you've ever received or have to give?
Oh, my God. That's really tough. I think my best piece of advice could be don't be afraid to be yourself would be my best piece of advice. Because I think there's a person out there for everyone. And I'm not a believer in, like, the rules. Like, don't text. Don't thank them. Like, do whatever the fuck you want. Like, honestly.
Yeah.
That is what my belief is, and it's okay for the other person to know you're interested.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that. Emily, Thank you.
Of course.
So much.
Of course.
If there is anyone listening who wants to reach out, is that okay?
Of course. Yeah.
Where can they find you?
You can message me on Instagram. It's at E.M. Kelman, K-E-L-M-A-N. Perfect. Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Thanks for listening, daters. I hope today's episode made you feel just a little bit less alone out there, no matter what your status might be. Give your finger a break from swiping and hit that follow and review button instead. And if you have any burning questions or want to share your own unfiltered dating stories, reach out to seeingotherpeoplepodcast@gmail.com. And in the meantime, keep on seeing other people.